Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, and we have a few questions about Thanksgiving.
Brine, roast, or deep fry?
Stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, or all three?
Homemade cranberry sauce or store-bought?
And when it comes to pies, pumpkin, apple, or pecan?
And what's the secret to a great crust? With Thanksgiving just 2 days away, these are just a few of the questions you might be pondering.
Others might be, what's the best way to stuff a turkey? The best way to carve it? Or the best way to make gravy? Whatever your question, we have two award-winning chefs from the Boston area here with us in the studio to give you answers.
And joining us now is Joanne Chang. She's pastry chef and owner of Flower Bakery. She's also chef and owner of Myers and Chang in the South End. And Joanne, great to have you back on Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And right next to her and across from me is Tony Maas. He's chef and owner at Craigie on Main in Cambridge and chef and proprietor at Kirkland Tap and Trotter in Somerville. Welcome back to you too, Tony.
Thrilled to be here.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. What's your Thanksgiving cooking question? What makes a perfect Thanksgiving feast? What's your favorite dish? Or maybe your most unusual Thanksgiving dish. We'd love to hear about that.
You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Tony and Joanne, let's open it up to a really kind of basic question. The two of you, when you do Thanksgiving, what does yours look like? Is it traditional? Is it much more gourmet than the rest of ours? Tony, what is yours like?
I don't know if I'm going to answer whether it's more gourmet or not. We cook some good food. Uh-huh. Our Thanksgivings for the past bunch of years have actually been in one of our restaurants.
Working?
No, not working. Just because we figure we've got bigger tables, a bigger bar,
a bigger
dishwasher, bigger kitchen, bigger everything.
So bigger Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've had a bunch of people, and it's turned into a big, you know, friends and family thing. Uh-huh. I do most of the cooking, but a lot of that is because I love it. Like, it's a great time of year to cook, and who, you know, better to cook for than my friends and
my
family.
Any interesting twists on the usual?
Well, so for years, I never made the same turkey twice. I was like, I was on this quest. What am I going to do with the turkey this year? And I've kind of settled on the technique that we've been doing most often. So we end up taking the legs off the turkey, and I confit them. That way that they're cooked in their own way, and they're cooked through, and I can get the skin nice and crispy, and it's kind of different texture. And then we just have that, you know, the double breast, or it's basically a version of the spatchcock where you split it down the middle, and that way we can cook the breast to its proper temperature, because I think
deconstruct it.
Well, but just in two.
Just in two.
Just
right,
in
okay.
two. Yeah. Because, you know, the breast and the legs cook differently, and I hate the dry breast.
I love this idea.
Or the rare legs. Right. Who wants that? So we just take it apart. And it also, you know, cuts into the cook time. It's a lot faster that way.
But doesn't this get into the whole question of then what do you do with the stuffing? So obviously you're not stuffing the turkey.
We, you know, the thing about stuffing a turkey is it quadruples your cook time, because you have to get the internal temperature of the stuffing to the right thing. And by then, what's outside of that is the bird, and you've completely overcooked the bird. So
this explains a lot for why a lot of people have failed turkeys on Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
And why they're on the edge of a nervous breakdown on Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Well.
So out of tradition, I still make a stuffing, and that is the thing that I make differently every year at this point, just depending on what bread I feel like. We make a pretzel bun for the hot dog at Kirkland Tap and Trotter. I'm going to make the stuffing out of the pretzels this year.
That's amazing.
That'll be fun.
Wow.
But it's separate. Joanne, your Thanksgiving table, is yours at one of your restaurants or one of your bakeries?
I'm coming over to Tony's. That sounds amazing. We typically actually go to friend's house. We're so busy. The bakery is, this is our busiest day of the
bakeries,
year. The bakeries are crazy right now and tomorrow. And so for Thanksgiving itself, we typically go to friend's house, and I bring one of every pastry that we offer at the bakery.
One of everything?
Yeah.
That's usually
six or seven pies and five or six quick breads and some rolls and some biscuits and cornbread.
Joanne, I'll trade you a turkey for one of everything from Flour.
Done. Totally done.
By the way, Joanne, you've brought in a beautiful plate of offerings here. Maybe you should just tell us quickly what you put in front of us.
I brought a couple of things that we're selling right now at the bakery for the holidays. We've got slices of pumpkin pie, chocolate cream pie. We have our flaky biscuits with sage and parsley. We have some cranberry pecan rolls, a gingerbread muffin with coffee glaze, double cornbread, and then I threw in a sticky bun because I can't go anywhere without
and
the sticky buns.
That tray, by the way, was brought in here at least 30-40 minutes ago. We have had to wait for you to come in before we could begin to dive in. We were told hands off until Joanne arrives.
You know, Sasha, it seems too, it answers the question. We were posing this as a bunch of questions at the beginning of this segment. We were asking things like apple, pumpkin, or pecan pie. I think Joanne's answer is all of the above.
All of them.
All of the above.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Has to be.
Can you read my pin? My pin says, I've never met a pie that I don't like.
You know, a lot of people are very intimidated by Thanksgiving, and probably for good reason. I mean, you're trying to make so many dishes. You usually only have four burners, one oven. What is your advice to people to make it seem manageable and easier and more fun than a burden?
I think the first thing you have to think about is what you can do days in advance.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot that can be done. So, like, the whole Thanksgiving rush of getting up early and making it all happen one day is ludicrous. So, you know, you can make a stuffing ahead. You could make your gravy or gravy base ahead. There's, you know, your pies.
Like, yeah, you can bake your pie crust ahead. You can make your pie filling ahead and then just bake it the day of.
So you almost want to plan, you know, a couple of days out, and you get a little bit done on Monday, a little bit done on Tuesday or whatever. And then the day of, you should always try to enlist as many people as possible. Get your army, because if it's just on you, it's no fun.
So it's late Tuesday afternoon, kind of running out of time for this strategy. Just want to point out. But still, we've got a day and a half.
Well, invite your friends over and, you know, have lots of good bourbon and beer. And then, you know, you get them over and you get them to help.
So, Joanne and Tony, we already have a board filling up with people who want to talk with you. So let's feed some of those in, and then Nathan and I will jump back in. Let's go to Susan from Andover. She has a vegetable question. Susan, what's your question for Joanne and Tony?
Hi, I'm wondering if you could please recommend a healthy green bean recipe. Something without butter or cream, please.
A healthy green bean recipe.
So apparently not the usual cream of something green bean casserole.
No, there's so much of Thanksgiving that is already so heavy. When you have your green vegetable.
Yeah, it's so funny. One of my staff just asked me, what is the one thing on the Thanksgiving table that you don't like? Because I love everything. And I said green bean casserole because it's usually doesn't taste like green beans. For me, what we would do is... like I do with almost every vegetable, I would stir fry it. I would throw in a little olive oil, maybe a little garlic, ginger, and stir fry it. I know that doesn't really go with a lot of Thanksgiving things, but man, it tastes good.
But I think your point is a great point, which is people need to sort of break out of the mold of what they think Thanksgiving is supposed to be.
Right.
Make
Absolutely.
What you like.
Yeah.
Listeners, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. If you have questions for Joanne Chang, the pastry chef and owner of Flower Bakery in Myers and Chang, and also Tony Maz of Craigie on Main and Kirkland Tap and Trotter. Once again, 1-800-423-8255. And now Muriel is calling from Beacon Hill.
Hello.
Hi, Muriel. Do you have a question for Joanne Chang or Tony Maz?
Yes, I do. We have a growing number of vegans and vegetarians in our extended family, ranging in age from 5 to 50-something. It's the 5-year-old I'm most concerned about. What would be your suggestion for a festive Thanksgiving recipe?
Festive vegan Thanksgiving recipe.
That a 5-year-old will eat.
Well, I mean, there's so much. You know, I was just at the farmer's market the other day, and there's terrific stuff that doesn't need to, you know, have a whole bunch of fancy stuff done to it. I mean, you roast whole pumpkins and squash, and, you know, you start doing different chutneys with, cranberries and nuts, and same thing. You know, there's lots of great rapinis and other greens like that that you could do. I think there's if you get out of the thinking that it has to be a big roast something and a big stuffed other thing, there's a lot of different great food that's with all great product that's available right now.
And Joanne, you do really interesting things with vegetables at Meyer and Chang.
Oh, yeah. We have a huge vegetable menu. We have sweet and sour Brussels sprouts. We have miso glazed carrots. Tony's right. There's so many great things you can do with vegetables now. I myself prefer vegetables. And so I think that if you go to the farmer's market and get some great stuff and add some farro, some grains.
Absolutely.
Some nuts.
The grains and then some keywords. Like you just said, soy sauce, miso. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting some umami and some other flavors in there. You can buy these things now pretty easily.
Joanne, I want to talk to you a little bit about baking pies. What's your best advice to get people confident about baking pies? Because it seems like even a relatively confident cook, this may be the sort of last frontier for the average person, right?
The crust.
A lot of
exactly.
people are intimidated by crust.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple quick and easy things. One, if you can get a baking scale, if you weigh everything, that will help a lot. Chill all of your ingredients. The butter should be really, really cold. And make sure after you've rolled out your crust, you actually chill the crust, and then do what we call blind baking. And that is taking your crust, lining it with parchment or a coffee filter, and then filling it with some heavy beans or rice, raw rice, just to weight it down, and then put that in the oven. And then once the crust bakes by itself, remove it from the oven, and then add your filling. And that makes a huge difference.
Interesting.
On the other hand, that sounds complicated to me. And I think there are decent pie crusts in the grocery store. Is there any shame in just buying a pie crust? I see Joanne directed at me.
Joanne's not going to go.
You know what?
For
that. We sell pie crusts at the bakery.
Oh, there's a good hybrid
Come
solution.
By the bakery and we sell pie crusts.
I wish I could describe the look she just gave me.
Yeah, disapproval would be the nicest, kindest word.
She's taking her pastries and leaving right now.
We have another caller. This is Elaine from Duxbury. Elaine, you have a meat question?
Yes. I have a freeze-packed shipment of venison arriving tomorrow from my relatives in Georgia.
Wow.
And I'm looking for preparation and maybe seasoning ideas to help it blend in a little bit with the more traditional turkey and side dishes.
Boy, a shipment of venison. Now you're talking my language. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I love rubs with things. I mean, it's a season for like these hearty spices. So, you know, cinnamon, star anise, maybe some dried chili, like not super spicy ones, but things like ancho, which is very rich and almost chocolatey, and, you know, hints of juniper. I would stick to those type of seasonings and make if you're serving any of it rare, medium rare, make a crust with that. And if you're going to braise, then I would use those same spices, you know, some hearty red wine or even some like dark stout beer would be fantastic for a braise.
Well, speaking of, since we're talking about meat again, Tony, you said for years you tried just about every turkey recipe known
yep.
out there. I'd love to just ask you to tick through one or two of them, because over the last few years, I've sort of, I've done it in the oven, I've done it outside in the barbecue, then I got into the deep frying thing. I sort of find myself coming back to the sort of traditional roast turkey, but I got to admit, I want to try your cutting it up and dismembering it and doing it that way.
But dismembering.
Tony Maw's dismembered turkey.
Exactly.
No, but I mean, tick through the sort of pros and cons of, talk about deep frying for a bit.
Well, you know, that's definitely an interesting and fun technique, and I've had it and it's good, but man, is it, you know, it's not as simple as it sounds,
right.
And it's borderline dangerous, and it takes a lot of work.
So don't do it on your deck.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, then, you know, all the questions that come with the turkey and the, you know, so many of like my emails are just filled with all these different recipes that people can do. And, you know, the simple thing is like, okay, to brine or not to brine. Well, to me, the easiest thing to do is what I do, which is called a dry brine. So I salt it and put, you know, spice rub on it, regardless of whether it's whole or spatchcocked or taking the legs off or anything like that. I just simply salt it. You don't need the bucket. You don't need the water. But you do this, you know, depending on the size of the bird, at least a day, if not 2 days ahead. Mm. And it has the same effect as a brine.
Interesting.
And it'll tenderize it, and it'll keep all the moisture in there just with the chemical effects of what salt does. So I take the whole bucket out of the equation. That makes your life simpler.
That makes it a lot easier.
Exactly. And then depending on, you know, how big your oven is, I think you have to go with what you physically, like what your kitchen can do, because it shouldn't be nearly that stressful. So if your oven isn't big enough, well then, yeah, do break it down and take the legs and do them something separate. If you want the whole bird, then do that too. I also would suggest that you don't ignore the grill, because it's bigger and it doesn't take up, you know, the space in the kitchen, and you can use your oven for other things that you might need. And you light the grill and put your turkey right on that, and it's fantastic. And the skin comes out crispy, and it's great flavor.
And nice excuse to get some fresh air during the day.
Exactly. Yeah. When you get sick of all the family, you go outside.
Listeners, we're talking with Boston area chefs Joanne Chang and Tony Maws. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Joanne and Tony, I want to go to a caller who apparently has a green bean recipe in response to the person who called earlier. This is Jan calling from Framingham. And Jan, you have a suggestion for a green bean recipe?
I absolutely do, and I test drove it a couple of days ago to make sure it would be perfect.
You did.
Wouldn't it be easier?
So, you know, maybe rather than have you go through the whole recipe or having to disclose your name and number, maybe we should have you give your name to our producers, and then if our other green bean caller wants to call back, we can pass along your name and number. Maybe that's a way to do it. Unless it's so simple, you want to tell us how you do it.
Well, it's pretty simple.
Sure. Tell us how.
You just tip and tail the beans and toss them with a little olive oil and salt. Throw in slivered garlic, shallot, and scallions that you sliced vertically, and bake them, roast them at 375 for about a half an hour. Then throw in some chopped sage and rosemary and thyme. 10 more minutes, and they're perfect.
Right on.
That sounds
amazing.
Great. That sounds great.
I'm into it.
Thank you for that.
Jan, we definitely want to get that recipe, though, to our producer. So make sure that you talk to someone before you say goodbye to us, okay?
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
We also have Patrick calling from Alston. And Patrick, your question for Joanne Chang and Tony Maws?
Hi, Joanne, Tony.
Hi.
Hey. I'm calling because this year I've been tasked with bringing the salad to Thanksgiving, and I know that it's easy for salad to sometimes seem simple and forgettable, so curious what your thoughts are and some seasonable and exciting things that don't make salad too complicated. But I also was curious, you know, with bringing a salad somewhere else, what are your thoughts on when and where to prepare what without it getting wilted or feeling like any of the vegetables or fruits involved?
Yeah, because it's fall and because it's Thanksgiving, we were talking about grains before. If you make it grain-based, then a lot of it can be dressed ahead and even taste better. And then you can just fold in some greens at the very last second.
That's a great idea. Yeah,
that's good advice.
And that travels really well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whether you're cooking farro or wheat berries or even just like Israeli couscous or something like that.
Roasting some squash.
Yeah, and then you roast so a lot of roasted vegetables with your grains and then fold in some greens at the end so you have some bright and crisp, but also some roasted flavors. I think that's very
fall. And it solves the soggy problem, which is what so many people are afraid of when it comes
exactly.
to salads.
Having to travel with a big bowl that
I like this idea. This sounds like a salad that makes sense for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because I got to say, a traditional sort of green leaf salad, I always feel like on Thanksgiving Day, not so much. I mean, it just doesn't seem to belong.
And then you make a maple mustard kind of vinaigrette. And
interesting.
A Thanksgiving-themed dressing. Exactly.
Exactly.
All right. Let's go to Paul, who's calling from Cambridge. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
All right, the turducken, what's up with that?
I've never known what's up with it, and I've never met a turducken I liked. Sorry.
I've never tried it. It sounds interesting.
So for people who don't know what a turducken is, right, it's a turkey that has a duck in it that has a
chicken that has
chicken
a squab that has
a
quail.
Quail that has an egg, right, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, how about you, Paul?
I'm doing one.
Nice. Go for it.
You're not dissuaded.
Low and low or 350 and just let her rip. What do you think?
I'm going back to the grill. Slow and low on the side of the grill. Cover it so it gets like good and smoky.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Paul, call us back and let us know how that turducken worked out.
Take pictures.
And I'm sorry that there was less than an enthusiastic embrace of your suggestion, which I think is a good one.
And Joanne and Tony, I have a question.
Leave it to me to insult the people. That's great.
Anthony and I were having this conversation this morning because we both have, in my case, it's my mother-in-law. And Anthony, it's your mom. And they're great cooks in their areas, right? My mother-in-law was German. She made wonderful food. She grew up World War II Germany. They learned to make wonderful things out of nothing. But she felt obligated to make traditional Thanksgiving dinner, and it wasn't her strength. Do you think people should just ditch all convention and make what you're good at?
Well, that's what my parents did. My parents, they knew that they were supposed to serve some sort of poultry, and they had never had turkey, so they always brought roast duck. So my mom would make roast duck, or we would just go to Chinatown and get a roast duck. And now, even when I do turkey at home, I tend to treat it sort of like a duck. I marinate it in soy and ginger, and then I roast it on high heat, first low and then on high to get it really crispy, sort of like a Peking duck.
Mm.
So I think, like we started off saying, like buck tradition and go with what tastes good. I mean, it's a day of eating. It doesn't really have
It's a day of sitting around a table with your friends and your family, and that's the focus.
Yeah,
so make what's going to make you happy.
So to that end, I have a question for both of you. I'll start with you, Joanne. The most sort of unusual Thanksgiving dish that you love to include in your typical Thanksgiving feast, does one come to mind?
Unusual. This isn't so unusual, but it was an unusual take. So I had tried sweet potatoes with the marshmallow toppings,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that I would try to make homemade marshmallows.
Wow.
I got very ambitious, but it ended up being like meringue. So it didn't quite work out, but everybody was very nice. They got the obligatory no thank you helping, as we call it. So that's one experiment that I won't replicate.
All right. What about you, Tony? Even an unusual dish that works that you
A couple years ago, because of the amount of turkeys that we bought for things that we do in the restaurant and stuff like that too, I had this, you know, a big pile of turkey wings. So I basically confit them and then fried them because we do ours in the restaurant, and made buffalo turkey wings for everybody. And that's been like the hit appetizer every year since.
Huh. That sounds amazing.
They're kind of fun. They're awesome and messy, and it's a great introduction to a Tony Maz Thanksgiving. Roll up your sleeves and get ready.
I have kind of a logistics question, which is several of the producers on the show love food, but they're in their 20s, apartments kind of small and cramped, wish they had bigger kitchens. So even preparing ahead of time, it might be hard for them to even warm everything up simultaneously day of. What do you say to all those 20-somethings out there in cramped little apartments who want to make a Thanksgiving dinner, but the kitchen doesn't quite allow it? How do you do something that's special but on scale?
I would say maybe pick one or two or three things that you want to make, and then outsource the rest.
Potluck? Kind of potluck?
Potluck, exactly. Have friends bring stuff. I mean, if you have a small apartment, you have to be realistic. And like Tony was saying, it's all about spending time with friends and family.
Exactly.
And if the whole challenge is trying to get everything to fit into the kitchen and you're frustrated and upset, then that's not a great Thanksgiving.
Even if that means you have to buy a pie crust.
You said it, Tony, not me.
You said it too, Sasha.
Touché.
For the record. All right. Well, we've been talking to Joanne Chang. She's a pastry chef and owner of Flower Bakery. She's also chef and owner of Myers and Chang in the South End. Joanne, thanks so much for coming and really appreciate it. And happy Thanksgiving.
You.
And Tony Maws is chef and owner at Craigie on Main in Cambridge and chef and proprietor at Kirkland Tap and Trotter in Somerville. Tony, as always, thanks to you.
And, awesome to be here.
And we've got some great Thanksgiving recipes from both of our guests. You can go to our website and check them out at radioboston.org.
And stay with us. Coming up, Newton-based blues guitarist Paul Seidel celebrates 20 years of playing the blues in Boston with his new EP, Gratitude. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.